Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
When I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. His feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick.
Right now, the whole world is watching Crystal Cathedral, and that, again, gives us an opportunity to show that God is a big, mighty, provisional God.
I'm reminded of great prophet Jeremiah, who did not have a Crystal Cathedral. He did not have much of a following. People didn't like him, but yet he was one of the Lord's great servants of the Word.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues, etc.
We turn to a subject that shouldn't be, but in fact is, very contentious in Christian circles. All Christians ought to agree on something as fundamental, as simple, and as basic as what the Bible teaches regarding holy baptism. Unfortunately, not all Christians do. I shall say that the majority of Christians, in the broadest sense, do, but especially in American Christianity, baptism runs the gamut from a sacrament instituted by Christ for the regeneration of sinners to a mere outward sign, symbol, sometimes even something considered dispensable in the Christian church. Now, how can this be, and what does the Bible really teach about baptism? It's our Pastor's Roundtable, live this Thursday, October the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Charlie Henriksen and Pastor Ben Ball will be with us for the first hour of the program today in our Pastor's Roundtable. Terry Mattingly will join us after that. We'll talk about the Kentucky Senate race, the debate where one of the candidates accused Rand Paul, the other candidate, of being engaged in an anti-Christian organization while a student at Baylor University. Terry Mattingly will sort that out for us. In the second hour of the program, then Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us for more of our apparent contradictions in the Bible series today. Who was it who moved David to number Israel? One passage says it was God. The other one says it was Satan. And why was it considered a sin from one time or another to number or census Israel? Dr. Andrew Steinman will be with us. You can be with us and join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. We're giving away a copy of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to the listener with the best question or comment during this hour on the subject of baptism. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page and leave a question or a comment on baptism right there, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us here in the studio, Pastor Charlie Henriksen. He's pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, and a regular guest. Charlie, welcome back.
Good to be here, Todd, and it's good to be baptized.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world is Pastor Ben Ball, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. He's on the line with us. Pastor, welcome back.
Thank you for saying that.
It's really...
And the feeling is mutual.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't know. I just have some sort of fondness for Pastor Ball and for Pastor Henriksen, too.
Oh, although, gee, thanks, Todd.
Charlie, I've known him for longer, so there's more to know and, well, more to forgive. And
more to forgive, right.
Yes, exactly. Charlie, let's start out with why it is that Christians, because this is considered, at least by the writer to the Hebrews, to be so elemental in Christian doctrine that it shouldn't be a matter of contention, and yet, especially in American Christianity, what baptism is a matter of ongoing and apparently never-ending debate.
Luther says it's the water connected to, comprehended in, God's word, connected to God's command and his promise. So it is no ordinary applying of water, but it's a water, the water that God has commanded the church to use, that Christ himself commanded the church to use, and that he has attached a promise of salvation to it.
Pastor Ball, is baptism then optional either for the individual or for the church at large?
Well, here we're going to get the questions of the law of the gospel. So Jesus came after he'd been raised from the dead to his 11 disciples. And in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 18, he says, this is how new disciples get made. He came to them. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus mandates this. He says, this is how you're going to make new disciples. He gives his disciples, the 11 of them, the mandate to do it. And it's how Jesus says that he's going to be with them in the baptizing and the teaching. So Christians are always going to run into trouble if they start excising things that Jesus says should be done. And as Pastor Hendrickson said, along with this baptism come great and glorious promises of life and salvation, deliverance from death and the devil. And so it's not something that can be wished away. It's something that Jesus desires his people to have. It's the way in which he gathers together his people. It's the way in which he has disciples who sit at his feet learn. The baptizing starts it, and the teaching continues it, and it's how we are actually the people of God in Christ Jesus.
Charlie, Pastor Ball pointed us to Matthew 28,
yeah,
which historically, before it was mm-hmm. the so-called Great Commission, whenever that happened,
yeah,
was historically considered by the church to be the institution of baptism, among other things. Where else in Scripture would you look for the clear word on what baptism is and what God does through baptism?
There are a number of scriptures. In fact, you could start with Jesus himself, with his being baptized in the Jordan River, Matthew chapter 4. Am I saying that right? Is it Matthew 4? Yeah, or 3. And it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus himself goes to the Jordan River and is baptized. So Jesus puts himself in the water with the sinners, showing that by his going to the cross, he is identifying with us and is going to save us thereby by giving us his righteousness and taking our sins. It is explicit then in the so-called Great Commission, Matthew 28, where he commands baptism. In the longer ending of Mark's gospel, Jesus says to go and preach the gospel, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. There are many passages in Acts and in the various epistles. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches the Pentecost sermon, they say, brothers, what shall we do then? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many passages, Titus 3 is used in the catechism, calling baptism a washing of regeneration. John 3, Jesus says about being born of water and the Spirit as the new birth. Ephesians 5, Paul refers to it as the washing of the water with the word. There you go.
So it's all over Scripture. I mean, yeah, if you think it's a minor thing, a simple perusal, an honest perusal of Scripture will say it has a prominent place in the Christian faith.
Yes, and thus through Christian history. This is how you are considered and even counted as a Christian. Are you baptized?
Okay. Ben, you have probably baptized a fair number of people. It's something we'll get to on the other side of the break, another big question about baptism that actually goes with the first question we've been dealing with. once you say what baptism is according to Scripture, the next big question is who gets baptism? In other words, who is a right recipient for baptism? In a nutshell, with about a minute and a half or so, how does the Bible answer that question?
Well, in Matthew 28, where Jesus institutes it, he says it's for all the nations, ta ethne in Greek. It's for all the ethnics, all over the place. Everybody's included in it. There's nobody left out. And as a matter of fact, St. Peter in Acts chapter 2, he even says that this baptism is for you, that is, those who are gathered together at Pentecost, who are cut to the heart and say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children, and for as many as the Lord our God will call. So it's for everybody. There's nobody who's left out of our Lord's desire that everybody be baptized, young, old, no matter what your ethnicity is, where you come from. It's for everybody, and everybody the Lord desires to call to himself, and so we don't make any distinctions in the church. We want them to come and get baptized and receive the gifts that Jesus has to give.
Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, along with Pastor Charlie Henriksen of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. They're our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday, October the 28th. We're coming to you live, and you can join the roundtable, too, with questions or comments.
It is Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus. Here I am from St. Matthew Lutheran Church, and I didn't even remember that. It's Matthew 3.
Of all things. Just another thing to forgive in Pastor Charlie Henriksen. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Remember, we're giving away a pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to the listener with the best question or comment in this hour on baptism. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Stay tuned.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
So why shove me?
Welcome Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking baptism with our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, October the 28th. Well, we discovered one thing, and that is these two questions. What is baptism? And who is to be baptized go together and are really, it's impossible to separate the two. You begin to see why some churches aren't baptizing infants, for instance. They do it or they don't do it because of what they believe baptism is or isn't. In a nutshell, as far as you can tell, Charlie, a confession of faith, a church, a congregation that would refuse to baptize the very young infants, what do they believe baptism then is?
I think at bottom, it's a question of whose work is baptism? Who's doing the work? Is it God's work or man's work? If it is our work, making our commitment to Christ, our decision, that's one thing. If it is God doing the work, if this is what we call a means of grace, that's another thing. Can God save infants? And is this a means that he can use to do that? Is the promise attached to the means? Yes, it is. I think often of the story of Naaman, the general in the Old Testament, who had leprosy, and the prophet told him to go and wash in the river. And he said, don't we have better rivers back home in Damascus? And he said, no. You know, it's really where God has attached his promise, God can do his work. So the first question is, who's doing the work? And we would say it is God's work to save.
Well, along with that, you got people that are walking around dead in their transgressions, full of filthy sins by their very nature. And the people that don't wish all nations and everybody to get baptized, they don't believe that in the first place. Because if you did, you'd have parents and preachers trying to hustle little babies after they're born to get to baptismal fonts. But they don't see that there's any real corruption from conception, as the Bible clearly teaches, that we were sinful from birth, sinful from the time we were conceived in our mother's wombs, from Psalm 51. And that holy baptism is the means, as Charlie said, that God has instituted to take care of our problem, which is sin, which the consequence is eternal death. And yes, Jesus died for us long ago, but we can't get in time machines and get back to see Jesus. He has instituted something where he gives us his great gifts, where we are joined to his death and his resurrection, and it becomes our own. Faith comprehends this, of course. But faith is even given in holy baptism, as the words and promises of God declare. And Pastor Henriksen is an exegete, and so he had to remind people that there's a longer ending of Mark. Some of us just take the Bible for what it is and say Mark is Mark. And Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Those are Jesus' words, and we don't doubt them. Baptism, faith go together, and with that is salvation. And so it's for everybody. And we're not going to say, well, this kid's too little. He doesn't have enough reason to figure all this stuff out. We're going to follow the simple and plain words of our Lord Christ and baptize according to his institution.
Ben, you make a couple good points there. When you talk about the sinful nature that even the infant has, you're talking about our need for what God is giving. Do we believe that we are born sinners? And this goes to the doctrine of original sin. So I think that is a variance here. But, you know, Luther often talks about God's command, God's promise, and our own need. When he's talking about prayer or the sacrament of the altar, I think it applies here also that we need, even from infancy, forgiveness of sins, and this is a means that God uses to do that.
Does the Bible, Pastor Ball, ever concern itself or quibble over the mode of baptism? That's another debate the Christians have about baptism. Essentially, how much water and how deep do you go?
Yeah, it doesn't. The Greek word, as Pastor Henriksen will tell you, baptize, simply means to wash something. And there's in the Old Synodical Catechism, there is the questions and answers in the back that give the example of one of the Bible passages where the word baptism is used. It simply means washing. And it's where the Pharisees, they would wash their pots, and they would wash their couches.
Yeah, furniture.
And, yeah, their furniture. They would do this ceremonially. But it so it means that the application of water to wash something. Now, some people make a lot of hay out of the fact that people should be fully immersed in the water. But when Jesus gives the mandate in Matthew chapter 28 for the baptism, it simply means the application of water onto somebody to wash them. That's all it means. And so it can be a lot of water. It can be a little bit of water, just as long as it's water, H2O. God used lots of water when he, for example, cleaned up the world once with a flood. He had the whole thing washed away. He could use a little bit of water, too. The water is the thing that is this agent that we see, but the big thing is the word that's joined to the water. You can have all the water in the world, and it's not going to do anything to anybody unless the words and promises of Jesus Christ in the divine name are hooked onto it. But you could have just the littlest drop. I was the officiant at the baptism of a child that was born at about 23 weeks of age. And he came out of his mother's womb, and I was in the delivery room and had a little just kind of squeezer of water. And he was baptized, just a couple drops. But it had the name, the Word of God, Jesus' mandate there. And that's enough.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it seems to come back to the question of what you believe baptism is. If you think that it is your work that you need to perform, then you need to be really sure that you perform it just so. Or, to perhaps put it more clearly, to follow some sort of pattern or example of how it ought to be done, because what's being done is not as important as that you get it right. As opposed to the view, as you said before, Charlie, if it's God's work and the real power is in the Word, then we don't worry about the amount of water, just that water is commanded and the promise is attached.
Yeah, and something else that Pastor Ball mentioned about the work that Christ did on the cross for us. And baptism delivers the benefits that Christ won for us on the cross. If you look in Luther's Small Catechism, he divides his treatment of baptism into four sections. The first is about the nature of baptism, what it is. The second is the benefit of baptism, what it gives. And he starts out, he says, what benefits does baptism give? And I always call attention to the first couple words here in the answer. It works. It works. And he says, it works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Now, if you come out of the treatment of the Creed, the second article, the things that it says here that baptism gives are exactly the same things that Christ won for us by his death on the cross. Forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, gives eternal salvation. So baptism as a sacrament is God's delivery system for delivering the benefits of Christ.
Okay, with about a minute or so here before we go to a break, Pastor Ball, you raised the question of the flood before. And there is an explicit connection, although one that's a little difficult for many Christians to swallow, in the New Testament, made by none other than St. Peter himself in his epistle, 1 Peter 3:21, where he talks about the flood. And then he says, now corresponding to this, baptism now saves you. What is the apostle saying there?
Well, just like God created and started anew with the flood and washed away the sins of the world and had a new creation and saved 8 people in an ark. They were saved in the water, but they were safe. So holy baptism washes away the sin of you, the one who's getting baptized. And it's not, the application of water is not, as St. Peter says, just to get some dirt off your head. It is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It saves by Jesus' own resurrection, and it makes you clean and new, not on the outside, but on the inside, making a new creation by the power of the word of Jesus.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Baptism is our subject on this Thursday afternoon. It's our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Ben Ball, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, and Pastor Charlie Henriksen, pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Join us with questions or comments, and we'll get to your Facebook questions on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're giving away a pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. The best question or comment, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. That Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'll be right back after this.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A member of the government in Spain, an equality minister of all things, said abortion isn't the taking of a human life because, she said, there isn't a unanimous opinion on the subject. I've heard this argument made in America, too, and I want to equip you with a solid response to such absurdity. If we were to follow this line of thinking, we couldn't protect the civil rights of black Americans because there certainly isn't unanimous agreement on their equal value in society. Should we not protect them because racists disagree? Not on your life. And the same should be true about protecting innocent unborn babies just because radical feminists or the abortion industry disagrees. Medical scientific facts show life begins at fertilization. As a result, human life should be protected.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about baptism with our pastor's roundtable for about another 25 minutes, the second hour of Issues Etc. We'll have Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org talk about, well, it was a very contentious debate in the Senate debate in Kentucky. Rand Paul was accused of involvement in an anti-Christian organization while a student at Baylor University. The Nose Brotherhood is what it was called, and he gave his answer in response. We'll see what Terry Mattingly has to say. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us after that on this Thursday afternoon to continue our conversation on apparent contradictions in the Bible. Here's one that seems to be just a blatant contradiction. In one verse of the Old Testament, it says that God moved David to make a census of Israel. And in another verse, it says Satan moved David to make the very same census. A contradiction? We shall see in the second hour of the program. Pastor Ball, this one's for you. It comes from David in Marion, Arkansas. He says, I'm a Southern Baptist, but have been very interested in Lutherans. My question regarding baptism is this. Does holding to baptismal regeneration, baptism being necessary for salvation, in any way take away from salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and being justified by grace and faith alone? It's an excellent question. What's your response?
It doesn't take it away. It actually does it. Now, any Southern Baptist, I think, would agree that God works through His Word. And so there is an external element that conveys the Holy Spirit in salvation. It's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, right? So the Holy Spirit uses the means of the Word to create, sustain faith, saving faith in a believer. It's the very same Word which God has attached to the water. That Word is Jesus' Word. He Himself said this is to be done. And the holy apostles, inspired by the same Spirit of God, has said this is what baptism gives us. St. Peter, St. Paul, they unpackage for us what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 28 when He instituted it. And so I think a lot of people get hung up on the fact, like, well, someone's doing something to somebody that is applying water to them, and so this must be some kind of good work or some kind of action which would fly in the face of the fact that we are saved by God's grace apart from the works of the law. But salvation in and of itself was accomplished for us by the work of Jesus Christ. So how is that salvation given to us then? Well, we all say, through the Word of God. Okay, what does the Word of God say about this particular work of God? What Pastor Henriksen said before, that baptism is God working. That's what Lutherans believe. It's God at work in this. He uses external means. Luther says in the Large Catechism, pay no attention to the man's hand that is putting the water on the person, because we also believe that God has instituted the office of the Holy Ministry, whereby He works and calls and sends His men to do His service. The hand that's putting the water on the child is none other than the hand of God, because it's connected to the Word and promise that He Himself has put into this activity, which is holy baptism. It's His working, it's His mandating, it's His institution, it's His giving life and salvation, giving the gift of faith, pouring out His grace, which is His undeserved favor and favorable disposition towards we poor sinners. It's all His working according to His institution, His setup, His stuff. And that's why, instead of seeming to run counter to the chief article of the Christian faith, it actually flows and delivers the chief article of the Christian faith, which is justification, because it's Jesus' means of justifying sinners.
Charlie, doesn't the baptism of infants, in fact, highlight and throw into extremely high relief the gracious, that is, undeserved favor for Christ's sake, the gracious nature of baptism, in that everyone will admit these little babies have no wherewithal. These little babies have no ability. These little babies must be entirely passive recipients.
It's being given to. Even in the natural course of things, little babies are given to, and in fact they trust, they have faith in their parents, to receive from their parents. Jesus talks about receiving the kingdom of God like a little child, that is to be purely given to. That's what salvation is. We are born dead sinners, and God gives to us who have no powers.
Okay, on the question of born sinful and dead in trespasses and sin, Haley in Paris, Texas says, my five-year-old son asks, comes from a five-year-old, Pastor mm-hmm. Henriksen, if people are born dead in sin before baptism, do we have a dead spirit no spirit or a deformed spirit? Mom's translation, what is the precise nature of the effects of baptism on a person's spirit or soul? What is our condition before? What is our condition with baptism?
My opinion doesn't count, but the Bible does count. And in Ephesians chapter 2, a great passage on this, Ephesians 2, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. The New Testament speaks about our natural condition of being blind, dead, powerless sinners. That's our starting point. We're under judgment, and it is God then who makes us alive.
Okay, Pastor Ball, let's talk about, I think what is often misunderstood about baptism and its ongoing effects. Many people, I think I would probably include myself in these ranks for the better part of my life, mostly viewed my baptism, in my case at 3 weeks or so, as a past event, an accomplished event that really is kind of done, over with. Then, being exposed more and more to the teaching of my own faith, I realized that actually the Bible expects us to understand baptism in a very ongoing way. Luther would even say, I am baptized, not I was baptized. What's the point here?
Okay, so what do you have is a new creation has been brought about in us in our holy baptism. But we're still walking around with our sinful flesh. And how do I combat, or how does God, has he already combated for me and fought for me, my continued sinful temptations, thoughts, desires, the sins which I actually commit and do? My conscience is continually condemning me. I know I am doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I can't seem to help myself. Now, what's the answer? Now, St. Paul gives it in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were, therefore, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So right now, it is a reality that I was crucified with Jesus Christ, me. I was in him. And there at Calvary, I was crucified with him. My sins were fully and completely in Christ. And they were buried with him. And in the tomb they stay because he got out of there alive. And in my baptism, I am a new creation. I've got the promise that I'm saved. I have eternal life right now, both in body and in soul. I can't live as a Christian without being baptized. My whole life as a Christian is centered and grounded in the very fact that I've been baptized. Because there, without a doubt, with complete certainty, I have been joined to Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, and it's mine. The Word of God says so. And so whether it's I am being plagued with sins, my own, whether I am being plagued by the sins of others and the terrible things that happen to Christian people in this world, I am baptized. This cannot be taken away from me. I am joined to Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. I have a Father in heaven who loves me, who gave his Son for me, and whose Son now lives for me. And my baptism is the promise that that's true for me. There's nothing better you can have in this life, Luther says, There's no greater jewel that can adorn our body and soul at baptism. For through it we obtain perfect holiness and salvation, which no other kind of life and no work on earth can acquire. The best thing that God has given to you in this life is your baptism. And it's happening right now. Yeah, it happened a long time ago. It happened once. But it's new every single day, and the water doesn't run dry.
Pastor Ben Ball is our guest along with Pastor Charlie Henriksen. We're talking baptism for another 10 minutes after this.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Oh, sinners, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Down in the river to pray.
We're talking about baptism. Pastor Charlie Henriksen and Pastor Ben Ball are our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. A mere 10 more minutes with them, and there's so much more we could say about baptism. In fact, Luther at one point says, if we started to say everything that there is, that God does and promises and works in baptism, we could spend the rest of our lives talking about it. Books could be written, one volume after another. And there's a reason he says this, not just because he was fixated on one particular part of Scripture, but this is the prominence which Scripture itself assigns to this means of grace. This is a question. Oh, by the way, we are giving away the copy of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to the listener with the best question or comment on baptism. The reason we do that is because we always use Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions as the basis for our pastor's roundtable. Now, you can find out more about this tremendous resource. It is, in effect, we had a caller someone email us earlier in the program saying they've always been interested in what Lutherans believe. Well, here it is, Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. You can't go any closer to the source than that. The 16th century confessions of the Lutheran Reformation, right there in an easy-to-understand and navigate form. Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions is produced by Concordia Publishing House. Call them and order the book, 1-800-325-3040. If you just say Concordia, they'll know what you're talking about. 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Charlie, this one comes from Raymond in Long Beach, California, via Facebook. How are baptism and absolution, either private or collective, related? Is absolution best treated as a separate sacrament anchored in Christ's suffering on the cross, or should it be explicitly connected to baptism, or perhaps neither solely one or the other, but both. What are your thoughts?
I think historically Lutherans have talked of holy absolution in both ways, as a third sacrament or as comprehended in baptism. And you mentioned Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. I have my copy opened right here to that very page where Luther says, here you see that baptism, both in its power and meaning, includes also the third sacrament, which has been called repentance. It is really nothing other than baptism. What else is repentance but a serious attack on the old man? And then later on he says, repentance, therefore, is nothing other than a return and approach to baptism. And so, for example, when I lead the divine service, when I conduct confession and absolution, I explicitly make the point of standing right at the baptismal font for that portion of the service, and then proceed into the chancel after that. I'm trying to visually connect holy absolution to a person's baptism.
Your thoughts there, Pastor Ball?
Yeah, it's the same word. I mean, you can't get around that. The way the pastor pronounces the absolution, which is real forgiveness from God himself, it's the same word and name that you're baptized into. So the pastor says to the penitent or to the whole congregation, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's the very same word that was put on the person or the people when they got baptized. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We've got one God and one Lord, and it's the same one that does the baptizing that does the absolving. And so you can't get around the connection, as Pastor Hendrickson said from Luther, that absolution and baptism, they go hand in hand.
And you raise another good point, Ben, and that is making the sign of the Holy Cross. And this is another good Lutheran practice coming out of our theology of baptism, that it's a good practice for the Christian every day to make the sign of the Holy Cross and to say the words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, not as a magic formula, but just as this is your identity every day, a daily dying and rising with Christ. You are a child of God, and you bear this name of the triune God. So the practice of absolution, the practice of the signing of the cross, our funeral liturgy, our funeral service connects the hope of the resurrection for this person with their baptism, with the white pall, and there's a baptismal remembrance at the start of our funeral service, because it is this power of Christ's resurrection in our daily life and for our eternal life that is given in baptism.
We were talking recently with Pastor Will Whedon, and maybe we were talking with him, or perhaps it was reviewing a sermon of his. The two run together in my mind, but nevertheless, he made the point on this whole notion of clothed in Christ, based on a passage, if I'm not mistaken, where is it, Charlie?
Since Galatians 3.
Galatians 3, where it's explicitly said, as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Yeah.
What is Paul saying there? Because it obviously informs these outward rites and ceremonies, like clothing in a white robe and things like that.
Yes, yes. This is our new dress, that our filthy garments have been taken off of us, and we've been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Jesus would speak about wearing the appropriate garment to the wedding feast. You see in the book of Revelation chapter 7, in fact, we're going to sing this on All Saints Day, behold a host arrayed in white, these who have had their robes washed in the blood of Christ. So this is the purity and the righteousness that Christ confers upon us, and it is as though we are clothed with him.
Pastor Ball, the earliest accounts of Christian baptism talk about this. Well, they would send the candidate for baptism, whether an infant or someone of older years, into the baptistry and into the water of baptism, buck naked. I mean, they bathed them as they bathed them, and then they would emerge and wrap them, and then they would immediately, in the earliest accounts of the church, they would immediately then receive the Lord's Supper? What's the connection between the Lord's table and, if you will, kind of emerging from the bath of baptism?
Yeah, for the adult, it would be the culmination of their catechesis. They would have been receiving the Word of God. They would have been taught. And at the end of that, they would have been asked if they believed in God the Father Almighty. The catechumen would say yes. They'd be asked if they believed in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and they would say yes. And they'd be asked, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And they'd say yes. They'd make a public confession testifying to their faith. And then they would be baptized, and there would be nothing left to preclude them from the altar in receiving the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. They were baptized into Jesus' body, into His death and resurrection. They're washed clean in their holy baptism, and now they are welcomed to eat and drink of the fruits of salvation. But this is all after their catechesis is complete. They've been examined. They've been absolved. They've heard and learned and put to heart the word of Jesus Christ, the full counsel of God, and nothing's been withheld from them, and they say, yes, I want it. For the infant...
And we've got about 30 seconds here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you can go on and on and on. Boy, we don't have enough time to talk about baptism. For the infant, it takes a little while, because Jesus, when He institutes and mandates holy baptism, He says the baptism comes first, and then you got to teach him. And so what we do when we baptize a child is we then want to catechize them so that we may rejoice in their confession and hear them give answer to their faith and testify to what God has done for them in Christ and in their holy baptism.
Let's see. The copy, the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions on this Thursday afternoon is going to go to David in Marion, Arkansas. Thank you very much for your question and all the other questions. David, if you would email us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I would be delighted to send to you the pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. Ben, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And one last thing. I got to say, Luther says that if there was a medicine out there that a physician would say, you take this and you're not going to die, and if you do die, you're still going to live forever, Luther says that's baptism, and everybody be running to it. So let's get our friends and neighbors to start running after it. And there's nothing like being on a radio program with Lutherans like Jeff Schwarz, who plays Motley Crue. That rocks.
All right. Thank you. Hey, that's how we roll around here. Pastor Charlie Henriksen is pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri. Charlie, it's always a pleasure to see you, and safe travels back down to mid-southern Missouri.
Thank you, Todd, and I encourage everyone to read the small and large catechisms on baptism. It's great stuff.
All right, when we come back, we're going to spend the second hour, beginning with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org. We'll discuss Rand Paul, an accusation that he was or is anti-Christian, and what that really means. Then we'll also be talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman, continuing our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible, one that seems rather glaring. In one passage, God tells David to number Israel. In another passage, it is Satan who tells David to do the same numbering of Israel. Wow, that's a contradiction. Is there a way to resolve it? We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program. Baptism is exactly what God says and promises it is. It is His Word, a powerful Word, the Word that creates and saves and sustains with water to deliver nothing less than Christ Himself. Hour two of Issues, Etc. after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.